Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. Dez is on the road again. She couldn't wait to get on the road again, but she will be joining us later, hopefully. But I want her to be in a nice, safe place instead of just driving and trying to talk. And you know how what happens with that on the highways this day and age. So I'm going to introduce the man of the hour. And he is a promoter, but he's also a pro competitor in bodybuilding. And he and I had an interesting conversation a while back, and I was thinking, you know, this is something that we need to share with others. And thankfully, he was obliging enough to do that, where he could come on the show and basically explain, you know, not talking as a promoter, but basically talking as a person that's passionate about the sport and having love towards it, how, you know, everybody expects a promoter to be a certain way, do a certain thing, and, you know, basically console and be there for everything that the competitor needs. But we have to flip the script and ask the question, what does the promoter need from the competitor in order for the show to be how everybody intends it to be? Because it can't be a one-sided affair and expect everything to work out. Life doesn't work that way, and neither does a well-run show, because in order for an expediter to do his job, the competitor has to be where they need to be. In order for the show to run smoothly, everybody has to be in tune with the fact that they're ready to compete. But there's also other little side things that need to happen, and I'm going to welcome Doug Randolph to the show. He's going to introduce himself to the community, and basically we'll go from there. So, Doug, hello.
Hey, Alan, how we doing?
I'm doing fine, buddy, and I know that you're getting probably barraged and besieged by all these last-minute questions for the people that are getting ready to do your show. But we also have to cover the other side, like we were talking about at Fit Body U, where the competitor has an obligation to the promoter, even though they don't think it initially. They think they just have to show up, but the promoter's expecting a certain amount of competition from the competitor that's coming to the venue. So when you have to deal with the person that's basically gym ready, and I keep saying this and people always look at me like, what is he talking about? I said, there's a gym ready look and there's a stage ready look. And if you walk into the right show at the right time, you just might pull it off. But that's not the norm. But it stands more to the point that if you show up with a gym look instead of a stage look, you're going to be hurt really bad. And sometimes it hurts so much that the people that really could do some damage in the you know, natural bodybuilding community later on with more work and better diet basically never show up again. So, you know, we're trying to rein them in, and I know you're really passionate about this. So, you know, let's go from there.
Yeah, so, I mean, you said gym look and the stage look. I mean, the gym look is you take your shirt off at the beach and people are going to say, he works out. The stage look is that guy or that girl has been on poverty macros for the last 12 weeks trying to get their bodies absolutely shredded to step on that stage. And there's a big difference. And usually, you know, the gym look, that's how I look about 12, 14 weeks out from a show. You can't get on stage like that. You've got to have a mindset. Anybody can do this. Absolutely anybody. And I preach this whenever I talk to people, whenever I get in a heated conversation, I don't want to say argument, a heated conversation with anybody, I really stress, anybody can do this. I think we talked about it a little bit about how I got into this. I was never obese, but I was pretty chubby, and In 2011, I used to work out at Dave Yates Gym, Studio Fitness, and we started a fat loss challenge similar to what Mike does at Fit Body U. And I was doing one of the classes with Dave's wife, Jen, and she had asked me if I've ever done a show, and I said no. She says, you should come to, it was the Great Lakes at the time, it was in October. She said, you should come to the show and check it out. You have the perfect body for it. And I went to the show, and I saw it. I said, I don't know if I could look like that. I mean, I think I could get pretty close. And that weekend after the show, the following week, I was going through some old emails, and I had an email from my dad. He was congratulating me for some work achievement. And at the end of the email, he said, you have the ability to do anything you set your mind to. And my dad had passed about 6 months before that. And I read that email. I took it out, and I highlighted that you have the ability to do anything you set your mind to. And that still sits next to me at my desk at work, so I see it every single day. And I set I set my mind that weekend, and 6 months later, 5 months later, I competed in the NANBF, Dave Yates, the Mr. Illinois, and I got second. I didn't go in with the mindset that I was going to win it, and I knew if I didn't win it, I wasn't going to get down on myself. I was take the constructive criticism. I mean, you go in and you don't win a show, hey, there can only be one winner, and it's usually the guy that works harder. But there are those genetic monsters out there that can that don't have to diet that hard to get stage ready, and they're few and far between, like we were talking about before, but they're out there. You know, and when you're going into a show, like you said, you know, some of these shows that are thought to be a low-caliber show, you're going to have one of those monsters show up, and it's not going to be your day. And the important thing is to know that there's less than 5% of the population that can do what we do as natural bodybuilders. And if you're at that show, I'd say 999 times out of 1,000, you're one of those underneath 5%. So it's very important not discouraged, but show up ready. Show up ready to win, but don't get down on yourself if you don't.
Exactly. And it, like you said, it can be done. But, you know, I say, you know, it's like any job. It takes time. Some people walk in and they've got it figured out as soon as they walk through the door. They don't even need the introduction manual. They don't need, you know, the safety manual. They just got it figured out because God has just blessed them, and they went in with the intent to do this job correctly, and no matter what, I'm not screwing up, and they hit the ground running. And God bless them, you know, because it happens. You know, people shouldn't be jealous or envious. They should just understand that you have a lot in life, and this is something that somebody can do straight out the door, and there's going to be another venue in another part of life that you'll be good at, and you'll be able to hit the ground running, and people feel that same way about you. That's the way it is in every aspect of life. We have this all around us. But for some reason, I guess because with the appearance and people get the immediate reaction and immediate attention, it basically causes people to look that way sooner. And so people think, well, why isn't it like that for me? And it, like, you know, you and I were both talking about with Mike, it hurts because you can see the potential in the competitor. You can see where they could be, you know, 2 years from now. Because like you said, you didn't just, you know, you see the letter from your dad and then you say, okay, I'm hitting stage. And then a week later, you're stepping on stage because you're primed and ready. You said 6 months. And people think about that and they say, oh, my goodness, that's too long. And I'm saying, man, for a first show, that's great because that shows that you really respect the competition you're stepping on stage with. You really respect the sport that you're sharing the stage with these other competitors, and you're actually putting the respect out there for yourself to say, you know, I matter enough to step on stage looking and doing my best. And hold on, Doug, we have a question. I'll throw this to you. This is from Kyle, and he wants to know, he knows you have a spring show. He wants to know the date and the venue, so I'll just let you answer that.
Date is April 22nd at Layden High School in Franklin Park. 29 days, 7 hours, buddy.
Wow. So the spring is actually here. And in spite of the weather, that show's still going to happen. And, you know, I say the weather is kind of like a prep where you have speed bumps in the road where you thought you were traveling the highway. And, you know, when you're prepping, no prep is the same. No prep is ever the same. No prep is ever the same for the competitor. I don't care how they jot it down in a book. It all changes. And, you know, still, if you plan to compete, please, I am begging. Okay, Sarah's saying, okay, late night, that's in Chicago. Yes, okay. So yep. She wants to know what the classes are at this show.
For the girls, we've got fitness model, figure, we've got the sports model, bikini divas, and the angels, where you wear the wings.
Okay, now I'm that angels is pretty neat because you guys do the lighting at that show where it really makes those wings look like something special. And wow, I know the one I saw at the Spartan, it was really impressive, and I would have never thought that could have worked backstage because, like, you know, but you have to remember it's an accessory, and it's how well you do the presentation. And people do forget that. And that's another thing that we talked about. I'm glad you brought that up because you can have the best look backstage, but if you don't practice the posing, no one will know on stage. So as a promoter and a fellow competitor, could you elaborate on that?
Well, like you said, you could be the best condition at that show, but if you haven't, and when I'll stress this, when you haven't practiced, and I don't mean practice in an hour the week before, I'm talking an hour a night for 30 nights straight. I hired a posing coach. My first show back in 2012, JoJo Sison helped me out, and I actually won best poser at that show. But when I went into the Heart of America, which is, I knew it was going to be a little bigger of a show, Cliff Wilson had prepped me, and he had worked with me a little bit, and he had suggested that I get a posing coach. So I hired I think his name was Michael Ganrud, and what we did was we Skyped, and we worked for about an hour a night for about 2 weeks, and I mean, I went in ready. Like you said, I mean, you could have the best body, but if you don't know how to show it, it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you a lot.
Yes. And it might sound like a foreign language, but with any sport, there's rules to the game. And I've heard so many people, you know, try to downplay bodybuilding and say it's not a sport. But if it weren't, there wouldn't be – you'd basically just walk in the big building – everyone take a look at you and say, well, okay, audience, who wins? And then there you go. But there's scoring and there's other aspects to it that let you know that it is a competition. And if you keep having people in your ear that say, you know, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, I'm telling everyone that you will fail and it won't be pretty. And because we love this sport so much, I want you to have a good time. I want you to enjoy every aspect of it. And we've got good promoters, Doug being one of them, that really wants you to succeed. But if you're not prepared when you step on stage, there's nothing the promoter can do. There's nothing the judge can do. There's nothing the expediter can do but sit there and wish you well because they know it's a tragedy waiting to happen. And Doug, you know, being backstage and being around the expediters, you've seen it, and I know it hurts. I'm telling you, and I'll tell anyone in natural bodybuilding or that wants to compete in natural bodybuilding, if you're supposed to win, trust me, all the competitors want you to win because they want to see fair judging. Because they know when their day comes, they'll get that same opportunity. No one wants to win by cheating other than cheaters. Anybody else that's a true competitor wants the best person to win. No one is sitting there holding their tongue, hoping you screw up.
because that's not – they shouldn't even be there anyway. So, you know, Doug, as a competitor, please express that hopefully as good as I'm trying to so they really get the gist of what we're saying.
It's a learned behavior. It's like anything. It's like riding a bike. You know, some people are going to learn it quicker. You know, they're going to get on the bike and, you know, maybe use training wheels for a little bit, but then they're going to be able to take off those training wheels and they're going to go good. It's the same thing with posing. Somebody could be a natural poser, but still you have to dial it in. You have to pay attention to what the people who really know what you should look like when you're hitting a side tricep. Make sure that you're getting that down to a T, because you only get one chance up there. You only get one chance.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't hit it right, then you're going to be kicking yourself when you get off the stage, and you're going to be thinking, I look better than him, I should have won, when in reality, the judges are thinking the same thing. Hey, we can tell sitting down there, your best condition, but if you're not showing it off, guess what? You're not going to take it. And that guy that got first, he's only a little bit better than you. He's only an inch off, you know, where he's holding his wrist, or he's only crouching down one more inch, and he's popping that hamstring when he's hitting that side bicep. It's an art. I mean, don't take it lightly. Pay attention to what people are telling you. Mike Newman even said, you know, if you're wanting to get into a show, he'd even offer free, you know, consultations at his gym, Fit Body U.
Yes. And I love the fact of what you just said about being first place and the judges wanting you to be first place. But like you said, if you're not presenting right, they don't have a choice in that. They can't just give it to you. That's politics. And I think a lot of people in the audience fail to see that, because basically the competitor or the coach or both didn't do their homework to make sure that they fit the criteria when stepping on stage or doing the posing that organization has been asking. Because I've seen, like you said, where somebody's first place backstage, but the minute they start posing, you realize, boy, they're going to get hit really, really hard. And I'm telling you, no competitor, not one, and mind that I'm keying on the word competitor, wants to beat first place if they're not first place. They know they have work to do. And even if you get a first place trophy, you know who really should have won it. And it takes away from that win. And people that compete, if we were to do an analogy and of another sport, I would say in basketball, where you have the Chicago Bulls banner year running their 72-10, and Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, and Michael Jordan is sick. So you get out there with the Bulls with basically a short roster, and you eke out a win by 3 points. You're not going to enjoy that win because you know the winning team didn't have their best out there. It's the same thing when you're on stage. If they're the first place physique, believe me, we're rooting just as much for that person to do their best, because you want, like Doug was saying, if you want those poses to be spot on, so you can see what a natural muscle looks like. You want those turns to be exactly right so the judge can give you the score that person wants. I mean, that person deserves. But it also takes the work from the competitor, and that's what the promoter is looking for. And, you know, he can beg and plead, but unless we show up in the way that he's asking, it's not his fault. He can throw the best show. He can have the best trophies. He can have the best expediters. He can have the best judges. But you're still going to lose because you didn't bring your best. And it's not their fault. Granted, there's been mistakes. Granted, scoring has been off. Granted, you know, the lighting might have been a little bad on one side of the stage and you didn't get moved enough. But they're so rare. And for people to just constantly complain and say, you know, I was cheated, I was robbed, and then they get the pictures 2 weeks later and realize they weren't, and they still don't, you know, come back and apologize for it. You can't blame the promoter, and you can't blame the judges. Sooner or later, it has to be you. And, you know, with Doug being as passionate as he is, I just don't want him to have to deal like the other promoters have to deal with, where people are complaining because the competitor didn't bring their best. It's still, we have a job too. We have an obligation too. I mean, granted, you know, they put nice venues, they do all this work with lighting, and trust me, it's a headache beyond reason being a promoter and getting stuff ready. So you don't really understand passion until you see them setting up a show, and then you might get a good idea of what natural bodybuilding is all about. But as competitors, we still have to bring our A game every time we want to step on stage if we want this sport to get better.
Yes, sir.
So now, okay, we got questions. Okay. Now, for bodybuilding, okay, Luke wants to know, what are the standard poses and what's the link to go to, or do you have video? Oh, wow, this is a pretty good one. Do you have video? Do you have links? And what does he have to do to make sure that if he does compete, he's ready to compete in your organization?
You know, there are videos. There are good videos out there on YouTube. Hit me up on Facebook, and I'll be glad to share some of those. Standard poses are your front double bicep, side chest, both sides, side tricep, back double bi, and the wing spread, your lats, with the calf spiked. So those are your standards, and obviously your crab roll, crab most muscular. But as far as videos, there are a lot of videos that helped me out on YouTube. And if you hit me up on Facebook Messenger, I'll definitely send some good videos.
Yes. And now, please be reminded that this man is getting ready for a show that he's promoting. So he will be busy. So if he can't respond immediately, he's not being disrespectful or ignoring your question. He's basically got 30,000 people probably sending the same kind of question, and he's got to respond to them as they come in. So, Doug, here we go. Linda wants to know how the wings. What's the deal with the wings? Okay.
The best way to describe it is like a Victoria's Secret model look. And you've got the wings, the light. It's a fun category. I'll tell you that's one of my favorite girl categories out there. One being new, and two, you gotta love to see wings. How can you not be happy?
Also, and this is something that you and I have to smile about, as well as any other person that's been following natural bodybuilding, is more and more advertising has been falling our way. Because they realize this is something that's sustainable, because people are, like you said, staying closer to stage look, not stage ready all year. Please don't misinterpret that, but just an appearance of health year round. Because, you know, it was the time where you basically do a show and then you blow up like a blimp. But now, you know, that's pretty much fallen by the wayside. So, you know, sponsors, advertisers are pulling. And, you know, it's also, and this is one of the benefits of natural bodybuilding that I love, is that it is about real health. And basically you can do the things the advertisers have been asking. So now when you have like a Victoria's Secret look, they actually look better than the ones that are actually wearing the Victoria's Secret on these runways. So that's a nice plus, and I'm glad you guys did that, because it did show that muscle is appealing. Even on women, because, you know, it was a genre where you just could not say that. It, you know, guys would fight back. You know, I don't want to call them guys, because they're pretty much intimidated by any woman that can't be, that, you know, won't take a beating from the idiot that wants to beat on them. So, you know, that's got to be a great thing, especially as a promoter, when you're getting contacted by people that are reaching out, like, hey, do you have this person, or do you have somebody in this look? And you can basically look in your information and find those kind of people. So Doug, okay, boy, we get some good questions here. Okay, now
Mike, not Newman. Mike wants to know, in bodybuilding, and because he's seen this, but this, okay, he wants to know, is there any chance that there'll be well, he's saying mess up, so I'm going to use his word. Is there any chance there'll be a mess up where the same guy that wins a men's physique will also win men's bodybuilding?
It really depends on the competitors there. I mean, we look at each category as its own category. So do you have guys that cover up their legs in physique, and when they show them in bodybuilding, they look better than any bodybuilder's legs you've ever seen? Absolutely. And, the physique look, I mean, we've seen what it should look like. You don't want to flare those lats. I mean, that's going to be points off if you're flaring the lats. I mean, you've got to – has there ever been a mess up? I'm sure there has. But what is a mess up? The mess up. Is it somebody that really should have won both? Did the bodybuilding competitors that showed up to the show, were they not as ready as the guy that, won physique? You know, Chris Wetzel last year won his pro card at the Illinois State, and then he won the North American in the pro physique, and he was as shredded as the bodybuilders. I mean, could he have done as well in bodybuilding? With the talent that was at the North American, I'd say no. But are there shows that he could have showed up and done both? Yeah, absolutely. And I think he could have won both. But you have to look and think, what is a mess up? You have to look at the caliber of competitors at that show. It's not something that judges want to see, somebody competing in physique and bodybuilding. So I think what it all comes down to is what are we looking at? Are we comparing this physique competitor as a bodybuilder, or are we leaving him out as a physique and leaving him no chance to win the bodybuilding? How conditioned is he? How big is he? How is he posing good? You know, all those questions come into play. So I wouldn't even call it a mess up if he came in conditioned and he had legs to show it. A lot of these competitors now, they're hiding their legs, and their legs are good, very good.
Yeah, and that goes back to, the work you put in at the gym, and it's very important. And, some people, like you said, they're going to do the work regardless because they want to compete. And when you have a competitive mind as compared to a person that's doing a bucket list mentality, that's two different fields. And, like I said, you're going to get embarrassed. And it's not, the judges hated you because there's some people that go into this with the wrong set. I can't imagine playing a football game and thinking that the other team is not supposed to win. I can't imagine playing a basketball game and thinking, if the other team just didn't show up. And I sure couldn't imagine playing baseball where, I get wiffle balls thrown at me and they get high-speed pitches thrown at them. And, natural bodybuilding took a hit in that because it was, basically, and there was a time. There really was a time. And, and for anyone to deny that would be lying. And, but we walked away from that because, people are willing to travel and people are showing up so good and they are willing to do their best. And like Doug was saying, I've seen where a guy would have been perfect for men's physique, but they just didn't have the category at the show. And so he came in at bodybuilding and he did have the right amount of legs. He did have the definition. He did have the symmetry. If, like Doug was saying, if a real competitive bodybuilder showed up with better muscle fullness, he would have beat the guy. But at that show, it did not happen. And I remember one of the judges being upset that he was going to win because he looked so much like men's physique. But if that's the best caliber competitor there, you don't deny them for doing exactly what they were supposed to do and presenting the body that they could present. It's not saying that they're going to stay in that, that look or symmetry. They're going to grow, but to be hit because they did exactly what they were supposed to be
and nobody else did, you don't chastise that person, and you definitely don't make it a knock against them for doing the best that they could at that time. And as a promoter does, I'm sure you've seen that quite a few times.
Yeah. And hey, good analogy here. You know, in speaking in terms of a mess up, you know, for UFC fans out there, you've got a fight that is probably going to happen with Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. If Conor McGregor wins, that's not a mess up. It's because he's the better fighter. You know, I would say the most likely the odds are against him. He's a UFC fighter, only able to use his boxing skills in a boxing match, but he very well could win that if he comes prepared. And it's just him crossing over, doing a different sport, a different class. But that's the same way I look at it. The better body is going to win. Who showed it off the best?
Yes. And you know, I get that, you know, we're always in the mindset of the enhanced community where there's so much bigger than life. But when you talk about a natural look, natural aesthetics, people, every natural competitor is unique. I have yet to see where you say this person is identical to this person in a competitive state in natural bodybuilding. Everybody's got a unique look. And because of that, you're going to have an appeal that's basically uniquely your own. And if you can present that body at that time, at that show, in that venue, you win. It's no doubt about it. But if you can't, you can't knock the person that did. And, I do get confused on that because it's like you're saying, the judges do want to award first place to the first place competitor. But you can't miss every free throw because you're getting sent to the foul line and say, well, you know, I should have won because basically I went to the free throw line 20 times. So if I'd have made all of them, you know, I would have won by 18. That's not the judge's fault. You got to make those free throws. And that comes in that the free throw would be the posing and the mandatories. If you can't come through on that, I don't care how many layups you made walking on stage and how you presented yourself with your nice gym strut. If you can't present it in front of the judges, you missed every free throw, and those are the ones that would have won you the game.
Absolutely.
So Doug, you know, you've got two shows, one spring and one fall. What are the competitors expecting? What are you presenting to the competitors that will be competing at your show?
I'll tell you, the biggest thing would be both of them are qualifiers for the Natural Olympia. They both pose the opportunity to get a pro card. Now, a popular thing to do, especially for people that are just starting out, is to get their pro card at one of those shows. Attending the show, competing in the show, automatically qualifies you for the Olympia. Now, whether or not you're able to do the pro or not depends on how well you do at these shows. But if you win a pro card, a popular thing to do would be to compete at the Natural O on Friday in the open and then as a pro on Saturday to see how you stand up, especially if you're someone that's just getting into the sport, not as seasoned as some of the veterans. But it'll actually, you know, it's one of the biggest shows out there. You know, that and the Mayhem, the biggest shows out there, to see what you can actually do at that level. You've got to do it at this level first. You got to get there first. Mm-hmm. So I would say that first and foremost is the biggest thing that the shows are offering. You know, obviously with the amount of competitors, it depends on the money for the pros. But Illinois State, very great opportunity to get your pro card. And then take some time off, get out to Vegas, compete in the Natural Olympia, biggest show in bodybuilding.
And there's one thing that I really hope people did not miss with what you said, is you can compete, but if they don't let you compete as a pro on the pro caliber, trust me, you're talking about an international show. They do not want to see you embarrassed. They do care about you. You're talking with somebody like Mike Waddington and Justin Figuera, and I can't remember the Asian fella's name. They bring the hammer. And, you know, like we were talking about in the Midwest Muscle video, where Chris Wells was the only American that placed. And he looked phenomenal. So, you know, it's not that they're trying to slight against you or picking on you. They see what you're bringing, and they're saying, look, we want you to love the sport as much as we do 10 years from now. And that's not going to happen if you keep getting put up against somebody like a Conor McGregor and you're basically doing Pop Warner wrestling. It's not going to happen. And I really, you know, and you know, that's where you have good promotion, you have good people on the high end of the sport that actually have your best interest, even though you think they might not have your best interest. So, Doug, we talked about the Illinois State. What were you saying about the North American? Because I know that's the fall show. And that's for the person a little bit more seasoned and closer to doing in the natural O, because that's pretty close to, what, 2 months between that? So you'd have to be a little bit more primed and ready and stick it out a little bit longer to make sure you can step on stage at the natural O.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that brings in, you know, to account where you should really have a coach. I think the most important thing, more important than your prep, is your reverse. How are you going to reverse off that? You know, unless you're a one and done, if you want to compete again at that level or a better level, you need a properly reverse diet. Go out, get yourself a coach. You know, you had touched on a little bit earlier, not getting down for not placing or not getting your pro card. Cliff Wilson, great example. How many times did he compete before he actually won his pro card? And you're talking about one of the best prep coaches out there. I'm not sure exactly how many shows he did, but I know he competed for about 6 years before he even won that pro card. And every time he was going up, if he lost, he knew why. He tried to better himself. You know, you get these people out there that have the great genetics that are, you know, and I'm a person that has pretty good genetics. But when I competed without a coach and when I competed with Cliff was night and day. To see my potential with an actual coach, and a lot of people out there, you know, I know they're probably thinking, oh, I can do my diet. I know my body. You know, you do learn something new about your body, like you were saying earlier, every single time you prep. You're going to learn something new. You're going to learn something you can do, something you can't do. But until you have that subjective person out there like a coach telling you, hey, you need to work on this. Hey, I know you think you're stage ready, but you're not. And exactly. Sometimes you're actually, the way you look, you could look like you're getting close to stage ready, but how much are you eating then? Are you at poverty macros? Are you below 100 grams of carbs a day already? You're not going to get any leaner. You know, no. you have to proper, you know, and that's the good thing about a coach. That takes out your thinking factor. You're doing what they're telling you to do. And I'm not talking about a coach that you sign on with and starts you at less than 1,000 calories. You've got to go in with an experienced coach out there, you know, John Gorman and Cliff Wilson. One of my friends, Brandon Wattis, who was also on Team Wilson. I mean, he does a great job. And he'll be the first one to tell you, if you get a coach that tries starting you out at, you know, below 1,000 calories, you need to turn around and run.
Run, yes.
Because you're not going to look 100%. You might get lean, but you're not going to look near 100%. When I signed on with Cliff in 2013, I wanted to compete 5 months later. And I thought, I probably could have. But he was honest with me. He said, you're probably going to be around 80% of what you could look like. So I said, all right, you know what? I'm paying you. You tell me when. And we waited a year. I waited a year, and I won the overall at the Heart of America. And there were some tough competitors there. But I couldn't have done it, and I wouldn't have done it if I didn't have a coach telling me, being brutally honest with me. So
yeah.
That's, you know, in a good reverse diet, a coach is going to do that for you.
and since we're on coaches, let's stick with that for a minute, because Brandon is asking, you know, about coaching, and you just hit on basically what he was asking, but I don't want him to think we overlooked his question. And a coach is a friend, a therapist, a psychologist, but they're also truth tellers. And there's going to be plenty of times where you're not going to like the truth, but that doesn't change it from being the truth. And I like how you said that about brutally honest, because it does have to get that way sometimes, because you will lock horns. You will lock horns at some time, because that ego is going to step in where a coach basically is saying, you know, not yet.
And a lot of people think, oh, they're just trying to get more money out of me. Not the good coaches. The good coaches are going to be honest with you. Your mommy, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your girlfriend, they're all going to tell you you look amazing and you look show ready, but your coach is the one that's going to tell you yes or no. And you've got to respect that. And if everybody knows the good coaches out there. They see them on Facebook. Those are the coaches that you want to go with. You don't want to go with the, you know, $50 a month coaches that are going to just drop your calories and you're going to see a big weight loss and think, oh, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. Hey, I can do that.
Yeah.
Sign me up. $100. I'll cut your calories. We'll get you ready.
Yeah, we'll starve you to stage. Okay, I'm going to put this out there. Andrea Castillo is nice enough to send this in. And she said, yes, the Natural O is the largest international end-of-the-year event for natural athletes. It is also not just a regular one-day competition. It starts with a registration on Thursday, which leads to VIP Mixer Thursday night. Friday is all day of amateurs. Saturday is the rest of the amateurs, then pros, and it wraps up on Sunday with the athlete brunch. Award ceremonies, Hall of Fame inductions, autograph signings, and usually ends up with Eric Lipton doing some personal photo shoots all over the area with both domestic and international athletes. And I'm telling you, Eric Lipton knows how to take that camera and make it work. So it's an event. It's not just a show. And anybody that goes thinking they're just going to a show will have their mind blown. And it's an international show. And I'm telling you, if what you see in the States is nice, but when you see international competition, that changes everything. And I'm here to tell you, you when you find out that you're representing America, that gives you goosebumps if you're a true competitor. So Doug, do you have anything to add to that one?
No, you about hit it on the head.
Yeah, so, you know, when you're seeing the level of competition and then you see, you know, like what Australia brings, like, I Justin Figueroa is one of those guys where you just see every year this guy is finding something else to define. And then, you know, I'm looking at Mr. Strong and the amputee side of it, and he's finding new ways to build his body. You really don't want a mediocre physique standing on stage on an international level. And it's a whole different kind of beast. Okay, here we go. Winners get their national anthem. This is talking about the Natural O. Played when they win. My goodness. Doug, have you actually been at one? Because I still have yet to actually make it down there. Have you actually been?
I have not.
Because I've basically listened to it on the website and the link that they provide. And
I've streamed,
you know,
it,
but
yes.
Yeah, so it's like I tell everybody, if you love anything, you have to do a live event sooner or later to get the real true understanding of the level of competition. And there's going to be naysayers and everything. There's going to be people that haven't done their homework and everything. There's people going to be basically running off potential and never doing enough to actually win. So basically they have a good social – they're social media likes, but they're not really true competitors. So they basically have a good look for photos, and they have a great filter for whatever they're using, or they have a great camera person that can basically take out the flaws. But when you see them in person, it's not the same. So when you're on stage and you're at a live event, you can see a lot better than what that camera will actually show. And I know people might argue with me on that, but if you have a good cameraman, a cameraman or woman, they can catch all the flaws that some cameras might not miss because the stage lighting is bright, so it will wash out some of the bad posing. And if you're at a live event, you will see it. Because I remember, and speaking of Andrea and Ed, they were yelling from the audience exactly what I was doing wrong. And people that saw the pictures from that show were saying, you know, I don't know how you lost. And I'm thinking, look, I was there live. I, you know, regardless of what I want to say or think, I could have basically complained and threw a fit. But when you have people telling me you're missing it and you're not going to win it because you're basically not getting your posing right, it's a hard thing to hear, but you need to hear it because it's the truth. And when you have people saying that, you know, those pictures don't do justice sometimes. Sometimes they hit it spot on. But there are times at a show, you know, where a promoter does everything right and the judges do everything right, but two or three bad pictures and people say, oh, you got screwed over. And because of your ego not being able to match what common sense should be saying, you missed the boat. And then, you know, the show sucks, life sucks, and everybody hates me. And it's not that way at all. So Doug, as a promoter, I'm going to get back on that. When you have expectations of what the competitor is supposed to bring, what do you feel they are obligated to bring to a show to make it the level and the presentation and everything? Everybody, how can a competitor come in with the magic that needs to happen to make it Walt Disney World instead of basically a cheap man's amusement park?
Well, I mean, like we said earlier, you know the difference between a gym look and a stage ready look. You've got to do your homework. Watch videos, like the fellow mentioned earlier. I mean, watch your videos. Know what you're supposed to look like on stage. You know, not what your friends in the gym tell you. Know what you're supposed to look like on stage and do your homework. Figure out what's going to set you apart from the guy that's conditioned just as well as you are, the girl that's conditioned just as well as you are. What's going to set you apart? Doing your homework, being educated on the poses, knowing, you know, poses have adapted over the years. You know, you've got to have every part of your body flexed. You know, Mike said it best, never let the judges see you at anything less than your best. Always know that we're always watching you. Every move you make, you only get one shot up there. So do your homework, come in ready. And, you know, even if you don't do great, it's going to be a learning experience. Like you said, you know, Andrea and Ed yelling from the audience. I had the luxury when I competed at the Heart of America, Cliff was actually there because he had a few people competing. And I heard him every single time in the audience, and I corrected it that split second. You know, tighten up your legs. Boom, be receptive to what the audience is saying as well. You know, every competitor usually going to have their cheering, you know, their cheering section that are going to be yelling, number five, looking good, number five. And, you know, the cheering section next to them is thinking, no, there's no way that guy's going to win, or no way that girl's going to win.
Yeah.
You your homework, come there knowing that it's usually not going to be a walk in the park. It's you know, you've dieted 12, 16, sometimes a year for that one day, that one prejudging. You've got 5 minutes on stage to showcase what you're bringing.
Mm-hmm. And it makes a world of difference when you come in with that mentality. Because, you know, I said this last show, it really hurts when you see people posting on social media, you know, this many weeks and then hashtag pro card winner,
give me my pro card. And you're thinking, then, you know, what happens with the rest of the competitors? That's kind of like a slap in their face that, you know, why even bother showing up if this person is just going to be handed a win simply because they dieted like everybody else? I don't understand that. There's plenty of people I know and are close to that do it, and I just have to shake my head because I'm saying, you know, then you don't know what it's like to compete. Because
no,
I can't think of another sport. Yeah, go ahead.
One thing, sorry to interrupt, but one thing we do with the INBA, PNBA, is if you've got two beasts that showed up to the same show, and this could be a girl or a guy, if you've got two beasts, it's tough to pick who wins, but we have to pick a winner. Someone has to get first place. If that second place person looks as good as that first place competitor, then he will give that second place competitor a pro card because he knows what the work that's been put in to look like that. He appreciates it, and he did that at the North American for a couple classes. There were two girls, and it was close, and he awarded them both a pro card because he knew the dedication and the work that was put in to bring that package to that stage at that time. So that's one thing I really liked about the North American.
Mm-hmm. And it is, like I said, because people are preparing for the natural low and wanting to see, you know, the competition they're coming up with it in the Midwest region. It's a good way to know what you need to fix before you actually show up to that show, the natural low. So, you know, the competition is tighter. I mean, and there is a lot of good work. And like you were saying, if somebody is 1 to 2 weeks out and, you know, and you know it and everybody else knows it, that is a really nice way to make sure that they don't give up hope and they do bring their best package to the natural low because, you know, it's a win-win. And we need to make sure that, you know, everything's okay and fine because it's really important for the competition to stay – you know, high. And people don't understand that because, you know, like you said, they're just good fans. They got their banners, but they don't really follow the sport well enough to understand, you know, what's really going on.
Yep. The biggest thing too, I mean, and I use this saying with my employees at work as well. Leave your ego at the door. Be willing to take the criticism, not only from the judges, but your fellow competitors. You know, I'll come up and I'll talk to you backstage and I'll let you know exactly what we thought you were doing wrong, what you could have done better. Leave your ego at the door when you're taking that criticism.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't understand why people want the judges, you know, feedback. And all that, you know, basically it's just to hear something I can argue about because I can't accept what, you know, I'll just say it like this. The sport isn't for everyone. I know people that were great at football but couldn't play a lick of basketball. I knew people that were great at baseball but couldn't do anything with a basketball. I mean, like every sport is designed to be good for somebody. But it doesn't mean that everybody's going to be great at every sport. I mean, you have people like Bo Jackson. You have people like the legend Jim Thorpe and all these other multi-sport players. But that doesn't mean it's for everyone. And bodybuilding is the same way. Like you were saying, there's some people that are just gifted where they can look great in men's physique and bodybuilding just by the posing they do. And that happens. But, you know, the criteria should be where you have a bodybuilder looks like a bodybuilder win and a person looks like Men's Physique win, but then you don't have the bodybuilder go into the Men's Physique and you have somebody that's first place Men's Physique and they don't win because the bodybuilder just happened to look good. The criteria does matter, and I think that's one thing people miss when somebody does cross over and is good at it. They say, well, then, you know, what's the point? But that's not the truth of the matter. Like you said, it depends on who shows up that day. And that's a big, big point that you brought out because it does happen.
So Doug, thank you so much. Quick shout out for you, people that you know are got your back, and please give the information for the upcoming show.
All right. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. So it's April 22nd, Layden High School in Franklin Park. Got 29 days out. Go to naturalbodybuilding.com. For any information, you can hit me up on Facebook, Doug Randolph, or you can email info@naturalbodybuilding.com. We've got all the Tanner set up there now, so when you register for that, you'll get all that information, and I really hope to see a bunch of people there.
Well, there you go. Also, one last thing. You spoke about the different classes of bodybuilding. Now, is there going to be a classic physique at that one?
There will be a classic physique.
Okay, so George and Larry, there you go. There will be a classic physique. Now, and Andrea had spoke about the posing and the past. Has that any of that changed? Because I know it's still a new thing in the PNBA.
As far as the actual posing, I mean, for classic physique, are we talking about classic physique or anything else?
Yes, classic physique.
Classic physique, best information I can give for that is go to YouTube and search Peter Hartwig. He's the textbook classic physique competitor.
Okay. For everybody that didn't hear what he just said, he said, Peter Hartwig. Okay, got it. Okay, he's good with that. Thanks. Anything else before we end the show, Doug?
No. Again, thank you very much for having me.
All right. Thanks so much, Doug. Have a great night.
You too.
So there you have it, everybody. Great, great show, great information. And just, I mean, honestly, if you're going to compete. If you're not ready to be competitive, then there's not much that can be said other than you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because ego wins nothing. Pride wins very little. Now, if you use that as motivational forces when you should be getting ready for a show, that's fine. I would love to hear it. I'd love to see it. Everybody's different. Everybody's unique. What you do to get ready for a show and be your best is your business. But when you step on a community atmosphere, it's everyone's business what you're doing. And you cannot ask for isolation in a group venue. Okay? You get that from the judges when you're competing, and they single you out. It's their job. They're not picking on you. They're just telling you exactly what needs to happen for you to become first place if you're not. So please bear that in mind. We can't have all the complaining, all the, you know, I got robbed, I got cheated. If you're not bringing your best and presenting it on stage, then they can't see the best that you brought to present. It's that simple. So, competitors, you've got a job to do just like the promoters, the expediters, and the judges. Everybody plays their part. But if you don't play fair, then nobody's going to be happy. So, everybody have a great night. Desiree, I miss you. Hope you're safe and sound. Andrea, thanks so much for your input. Kaylin Patterson, P4P Muscle, Best Muscle, Real Talk, we are out.